This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome back to Pod TST, a Rams podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur, managing editor at Turf Show Times, as you know, and this is a Rams podcast. And the LA Rams made 9 draft picks. You know, they went into the draft with 6 picks. Les Snead did a little bit of trading, made 3 trades, ended up with 9 picks. It did give LA 1 fewer pick on day 2. But it did give the Rams several extra picks on day 3, including more picks in the top 150, which I think is going to be really important and was really important for the Rams to get as many of those players as they can, you know, and with Ernest Brown in the 7th round, that's 5 of the top 175. And it's kind of not that big of a, you know, it's kind of arbitrary. I understand that. So, you know, don't think that I'm overrating this idea of a top 150. In reality, you know, the top 150, I mean, that's nothing compared to the top 20. You know, like the players in the top 20 are in a different class typically in a lot of years than players even in the 21 to 32 range. I think that the first round even needs to be separated with new names for the players who are being drafted in that sense. You know, it's almost like the teams that didn't make the playoffs, you know, they really do get a better prospect than the teams that did make the playoffs. Typically, this isn't like a hard and fast rule, but if you look back at the players who just got their fifth year options, in the top 18, it was everybody except for Josh Rosen, I believe, who wasn't even eligible because he had been released and twice and then not picked up on waivers the second time. So, you know, I think the top 20 is different, and the 20 to 40 is different, and 40 to 80 is different. But in this particular draft, you know, the smallest talent pool for a draft in years, decades, maybe ever, 657 players, if off the top of my head, if I recall correctly, entering the draft this year. Typically, you'd be looking at 2,000. So we're looking at a third to a half of what you might expect of a draft talent pool. And this wouldn't impact the top 20 nearly as much as it would impact day 3 and undrafted free agents. The players who went back to college because the NCAA gave them an extra year of eligibility due to the pandemic. So a lot of players chose, I'm going to get my extra year of eligibility. I'm going to go back to school. This is going to make the 2022 and 2023 drafts potentially much, much stronger than a normal draft class. More seasoned players, more seniors, more juniors, more of those guys that went back in and decided to give themselves a better shot at going higher. So it was those day 3 undrafted free agent players who would be most likely to go back to college. And I really think that that is worth emphasizing. The types of players who would go on day 3 of a draft were given an extra year of eligibility, just like every other college player. But, you know, on that Venn diagram, all of the college players, the ones who might have gone on day 3, the ones who were hearing from the NFL, you know, as a prospect, if you've got eligibility left in college, you might send out but you're eligible for the draft too. You might send a note to the NFL, their committee that they've got about where they think you'll be drafted. And, you know, those guys who heard day 3, some of them went into the draft and thought, I'm going to outdo them, or this is my best chance I've ever had. So even day 3 sounds, you know, like round 7 sounds good to me. Some guys would have done that, and other guys, a lot of them, said, hey, I'm a 7th round pick. No, I'll show you next year. I'm a 1st round pick. And that's going to make the first 2-3 rounds of next year's draft intensely competitive. But this year, I think it must be emphasized that if that was the case, if day three picks were the ones who decided to go back to college, it means that day three picks this year were guys that would normally be undrafted free agents or even tryout players. And that's why I think the top 150 of this draft was so much more important, and why Les Snead, instead of having four picks in that, you know, in the top 140, had five picks in the top 140. And that might not sound like a lot. You know, Jacob Harris was pick 141. So five in the top 141. But that's where you go. If Les Snead doesn't make that trade, he doesn't have maybe Jacob Harris. He doesn't have maybe Robert Rochelle. He doesn't have maybe Ernest Brown. One of those players perhaps is not going to be a member of the Rams if the Rams don't trade down. And that'll always be true. So in the future, you know, if Robert Rochelle turns out to be a star, and I really liked Robert Rochelle, the draft pick selection of Robert Rochelle, or if Jacob Harris turns out to be a star, which he's such a unique athlete, such a unique player in a unique situation, doesn't have a lot of football experience, but he's such a good athlete. You know, you could think of him almost, you know, remember Matt Jones, quarterback, entered the draft as a wide receiver, was a first round pick of the Jaguars. Matt Jones never really developed into a great player, but he did have a couple of great seasons, did way better than you should have ever expected a player who wasn't a wide receiver to do. And there's a chance that Jacob Harris could be like that. You know, maybe Jacob Harris is an example. Matt Jones should have been a fourth round pick, but in the case of Jacob Harris, you know, this guy's 6'4", 6'5", 220 pounds, thin, but runs fast, jumps high, broad jump. Everything was off the charts. Had 1 year of high school football. That's it. Went to college to play soccer. Decided to give up soccer. Thought maybe I do have a chance here with football. And he was right. Fourth round pick. That's very hard to do, even in a year like this one. Again, though, I think that it could be possible that Jacob Harris is a sixth round pick in a normal year. But I still think that it's important for the Rams to have gotten as many of those types of players as possible. Now, also, what moving around did was give the Rams extra ammunition at the end of the draft. And in today's episode of Pod TST, I wanted to discuss the 3 7th round picks of the LA Rams. And then I'm going to put out a poll there for you to vote on which of the 7th round picks you think has the greatest odds of making the Rams roster this season in week one. It's possible none of them will. It's possible that all of them will. But why don't we, as a community, discuss and come up with the thought of who could be the most likely of the 3 7th round picks to make the Rams out of training camp. And it's not going to be easy for any of them. As I said, these are more like undrafted free agents. And the good news is that undrafted free agents make teams all the time. The bad news is last year we did see the lowest amount of undrafted free agents make it because of, again, the pandemic. A lot of rookies and undrafted free agents, they just didn't get those same chances that they normally would have gotten. Those opportunities will open up again this year. And I think it's possible that we'll see, like, you know, a good amount of undrafted free agents make the teams. However, now again, as I say that, you know, like I said, it's the undrafted free agents are of a different class than normal undrafted free agents. But this also could mean that because of all the unusual circumstances, players who opted out, players who didn't play last season, players who hardly played last season because of the pandemic, no medicals that made certain players fall, off-field issues, and they couldn't do interviews and get to know the players, you know, family and surroundings and the people that knew them as well. All of these red flags. Well, we know that sometimes red flags are keeping teams away from really, really, really great players. And that's why, you know, you get the really good values that sometimes happen in, you know, sixth round, seventh round, fifth round, even, you know, third round. But With that being said, you know, there are going to be probably some real gems here that have fallen to the sixth, seventh round undrafted free agents. There's going to be, I think, some real gems in there that was like, wow, the NFL really did a poor job of evaluating this player, or because of the pandemic or because of circumstances, you know, this player slipped through the cracks. And that could be the case with any of these three seventh round picks of the Rams. Which of them do you think will have the greatest odds of making the team? The order in which they were drafted should have zero impact or effect, or give us no insight into which of them is most likely to make the team. You know, going 233 or going 252, I can't see how that's really going to matter to the Rams. So I don't really think that just because, like, well, this was a guy that we were worried he was going to get away from us. Nobody in the seventh round, I think, GMs really worry that a player is going to get away from them. They have players that at that point, I think the bucket of players is so large in a sense, because you've also, at this point, you know, at each part of the draft, teams have buckets of names, and then it's that point that they start pulling from that bucket. And I would imagine that once you get to 233, where they picked Jake Funk, you know, there was a name, there was a big bucket of those guys where it's like, well, when we get to this area, we like, you know, this is the order of them. But because we have to have a long list of names, because we don't know who's going to go in the fifth round and the sixth round like we know who's going to go in the first round. There's so many mock drafts in the first round. It's like, okay, by now we know about 20, 25 players probably who are going to go in the first round. There's so much uncertainty by the time you get to the seventh round. You got to have a big bucket. You got to order that bucket around. You got to decide what are the things that you really want to get at that point. It probably has to do with special teams. It probably doesn't have to do with your offense and your defense when you get into the seventh round. You're looking for guys that you believe will compete, that will make it harder, make it harder on the veterans and the players in front of them by saying, here's some guy who I think is going to challenge. And I think he's going to lose that challenge, but I want a guy who really wants to fight for it, who's going to, you know, really work his ass off because he knows he's up against it so hard by being in the seventh round or an undrafted free agent. But I want that guy who's going to have a lot of confidence and belief in himself and not really worry about the fact that he's a seventh round pick. If he wants to put a chip on his shoulder, great. But ultimately, I think you just want the players who, you know, it's like in Hollywood, they have writers' rooms for television shows, and when they read a bunch of scripts and pilot episodes from people who want to be TV writers, well, then maybe they'll interview or grab a coffee or a lunch with three or four of them, or one of them, or five of them, or whatever it is. You know, that showrunner wants to bring somebody in. If they've got your script and it wasn't terrible, you know, they're probably meeting with you because they, you know, your uncle is them, or your uncle, you know, is the producer, or whatever it is. It's usually an uncle, but you know, when you're in that meeting, they already think that they're good writers and that they've got great writers around them and that they've got a great staff. You're a nobody at this point. So they just want to know, who can I hang out with? Who am I not going to hate to sit in a room with for 14 hours? So I think in the seventh round, you do get a lot of good personalities, a lot of good character guys, a lot of good, you know, this is where terminology like grit comes in, or scrappy. That's where you get the guys like Jake Funk and Ben Skowronek and Chris Garrett. You know, these are the players who the Rams have chosen in the seventh round, and these are going to be the players who, you know, this bucket of players, it's typically going to be those guys who you're like, this is the type of guy that I want to be hanging around with when we're doing these difficult, hot, competitive, sweaty practices every day for hours, meetings. Who's going to show up to the meetings? Who's going to be a problem? Who's not going to be a problem? And I think that is so much more focus of the seventh round than it is who's got the potential to become the next Antonio Brown, who was a sixth round pick, but there's just not many seventh round picks who have had star careers. It doesn't, there's more, obviously there's more undrafted free agent examples because there's more undrafted free agents, but Truly, I think the teams have an easier time finding potential stars in undrafted free agency than they do in the seventh round, because in undrafted free agency, you do have maybe a little bit more of that leeway to say, well, I don't know as much about this guy. I don't know if I'm sure about this guy, but I'm willing to give him a signing because he does run a 4.3. So even though all of his coaches, you know, he was tardy a lot, you know, or was suspended for missing team meetings or violating team rules, he runs a 4.3. If he messes around here, we'll cut him. And I think that that is a slightly different thing than a seventh round pick. I think seventh round picks, you know, the 2020 NFL draft, well, maybe we'll go back a few. I have a draft up here. Maybe we'll go back a couple years. Let's go back to 2017 and let's see who was drafted in the seventh round and if there are any notable starters on offense or defense. Let's see. So according to profootballreference.com, I'm looking at the seventh round of the 2017 NFL draft, and there's only four players out of the entire seventh round, which is more than 32 picks because you got the comp picks and there's a bunch of those. So, you know, you're looking at a good 40-ish players. And out of those 40-ish players, four have had any of one starting season, you know.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ifeata Odenbigo, Odenbigo. I've heard it said, but I don't say it well. He's had one season as a starter, played in 32 games over 4 years. David Moore of the Seahawks, you know, technically he's had one season as a starter, 47 career games. So that's out of 48. So he's played in a lot of games. And I know he just signed a contract with the Carolina Panthers to make some additional money there in his career, which is very rare for seventh round picks. Adrian Colbert, a pick of the 49ers, safety. He's had one season as a starter, 33 career games. And Chris Carson, the most notable player in this seventh round, the running back, 3 seasons as a starter, 45 career games played, and you know he's a pretty good running back. So Seattle got lucky in the seventh round there, but that's unusual. And the best picks were guys like, hey, well, here's another one, Harrison Butker, you know, who's picked, by the way, by the Carolina Panthers, cut before the year, and then picked up by the Chiefs, and that's where he's had a very successful 4-year career since. But there aren't stars in here. There's barely any guys who are still in the league. Zane Gonzalez, another kicker. Isaac Rochelle, I know that name from the Chargers. Elijah Lee, a linebacker with the Vikings. Again, a lot of special teams situations going on here. And maybe it's not out of 48 possible games. Maybe it's actually out of 64 possible games. So apologies there. But I think that the takeaway here is any draft that I go to, the seventh round is not going to have very many stars. So when you're looking at this particular seventh round too, knowing that the draft pool was smaller, I think the biggest thing for the Rams to be looking at here in the seventh round with these picks is, can any of these players become special teams stars for the Rams? And that's what the Rams will be looking for more than anything else. Is whether or not these players are going to contribute on special teams. And they do have some snaps opening up potentially on special teams. I think that Sean McVay is very unhappy with his special teams the last couple of years, which is why you've seen 3/4 of the longtime special teams quartet go to the Dallas Cowboys. And now Johnny Hecker is the only one that remains. And the Rams, they say there's no competition. You know, Sean McVay was very adamant and almost pissed off, it seemed, when he said there was no competition here for Johnny Hecker. It was just they wanted to pick up a good punter. By signing Corey Borriquez, though, and knowing that Johnny Hecker isn't the premier punter and that he is the most highest paid punter in the NFL, and that's not to say that he's not a premier punter or that he can't be the best punter in the NFL next year, because he's like, he had like a Hall of Fame stretch for punters at one point, you know, if he had kept that up, and he could still continue that. But in any case, Sean McVay has overhauled the special teams units and the coordinator, a second change in as many years at coordinator, and we could see that there's going to be some new guys out there on coverage and land blocks and returning kicks and doing whatever it is that the Rams would like to do on special teams at a higher degree, because they are one of the lower rated special teams units in the NFL. And that's going to be where, you know, that slight tiny edge could come into play when the Rams could be so closely knit in talent this year with a bunch of teams in the NFC. And it's just going to be that, what, that small edge perhaps that pushes one team over the other five or six. And I'm looking at the Seahawks, and I'm looking at the 49ers, and I'm looking at the Bucks, and I'm looking at, you know, the Packers if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go anywhere, and I'm looking at the Cowboys. And those are the some of the obvious teams, but, you know, because Aaron Rodgers is out there, we don't know if he could go to a team like Washington or the Giants. And I'm looking at the Cardinals, who could surprise or not even really surprise. You know, they were 8-8 last year, added some good pieces this year. I mean, the Saints, if they added a quarterback, or maybe even if they don't have to add a quarterback, you never know. It's very, you know, if the Panthers added a quarterback, you know, they're a more interesting team, not as good as the Rams. It depends on the quarterback. But I do think, like, and I could keep going around here. I think the idea is, obviously, Sean McVay doesn't want to lose any games this year because of special teams. They had all the problems with the kicker last year. They weren't doing as well on kickoffs and coverage and returns and everything. You know, Webster wasn't doing as much as they wanted. So, again, when looking at it, the most special team snaps last year, you had Nick Scott, who himself, a former late-round pick, a seventh-round pick in 2019. So, you know, Nick Scott, one of the guys of the seventh-round variety who has stuck around. Johnny Munt, who, you know, is in that same range. David Long, a former third-round pick. Simba Webster, former undrafted free agent. Natrez Patrick, who is fifth on special team snaps, another undrafted free agent. Samson Ebukam, mid-round pick, you know, Troy Reader, undrafted, and Juju Hughes, undrafted. This is where, you know, the Rams would be looking for somebody like Jake Funk, Ben Skowronek, Chris Garrett to get in there. And we know that some of these guys have really, do have special teams reputations and prowess. So which of these players, though, do you think is most likely to make the Rams and why? Throw a comment in below, or I guess if you listened to this, and if you didn't listen to this, maybe you already commented anyway. I'm sure some of you did, and definitely voted on the poll, which is fine. You know, I want to know what everybody thinks about who will be the seventh round pick to make the team. I'll go through them quickly because obviously I've spent most of this time talking about the whole concept of seventh round picks. The LA Rams added Jake Funk first with their first seventh round pick. Again, that doesn't matter. Funk is a running back who did have success as a running back and should have some potential as a running back in the NFL. He's such a great athlete, 5'10", 206 pounds. He ran a 4.49 40-yard dash. He had a 38-inch vertical, a 10.2 broad jump, a 6.713 cone time, a 4.12 in the shuttle, and a 1.5 10-yard split, which is the first 10 yards that a player runs in the 40, so that get-up speed, and 1.5 is elite. Funk does have injury issues, a couple of torn ACLs, or I should say, you know, tore the ACL, I believe, in the right knee twice. But I could be wrong about that. I do know that he was he had a torn ACL twice. I know that. So Funk does have injury concerns if you're looking at him as a running back. But here is a seventh round pick, a guy who does have probably some potential there to be utilized on offense. But I also think, you know, Raymond Calais, who was a undrafted free agent in 2020, signed by the Bucks and then picked up on waivers by the Rams. Raymond Calais was a guy used on kick returns. He had a 1-5 10-yard split. Calais is a guy that is basically, you could say, Funk and Calais. I mean, whichever one wins that competition, if there is one, Xavier Jones being another running back in that sort of depth area. But and we know that Malcolm Brown is not coming back with the Rams. He signed with the Dolphins. Looking at Jake Funk, you could say, yeah, I'm excited about the potential there. But I think it's kind of the similar of just saying, like, well, then you should be excited about Raymond Calais, too. There's really nothing more interesting or exciting than one or the other. They fall into the same category of undrafted free agent. Of course, I don't want to discourage you from having your own thoughts and opinions on it. But I think that they're kind of just in that same range. So Jake Funk could make the roster. He's the newer of the running backs. So that's one thing where it's like, oh, he's the newer one, so I care more. But overall, you know, he has to stay healthy and more so than prove himself as a capable complement to Cam Akers. I think Jake Funk has to win that special teams battle. And he had the reputation, you know, there was another, you know, Jacob Harris is another guy who had a reputation as being maybe the best special teams player in this draft. Funk also has special teams prowess of a high degree. I would say that knowing that Jacob Harris is much more likely to make the roster, Harris making the roster, he's going to be one of those guys that takes up a spot on special teams. Funk could too. And we've got Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson taking up the top two spots on the depth chart at running back, assuming that they don't make any moves with Henderson, which I'm not predicting that to happen. Knowing that Cam Akers is the number one, though, you could say, is there some chance that another team would come asking about Daryl Henderson? But overall, they're going to be a good, I think, 1-2. And the other thing, too, is like you kind of have to get certain running backs for Matthew Stafford, because the whole team, for the most part, was built prior to Matthew Stafford. And that's what the Rams are going with, is Stafford in that system. But there are going to be smaller pieces that I think have to complement him in a certain way and his attributes in a certain way, which is why I think they signed DeSean Jackson and drafted Tutu Atwell. It's because they wanted that type of speed in the short term and the long term for Stafford to be able to utilize. And they didn't really have that with the other two guys yet. Jake Funk does have a ton of speed, and he could be a component on offense. And he also, but his main thing is going to be getting there on special teams. So, you know, Jake Funk probably has, you know, a very, he's going to have an opportunity, no doubt. And it's, I don't want to start saying, well, he's going to have a better chance than these other two guys, because I think they're still sort of equal. But if he comes in there with that special teams, that's going to be the thing that stands out above his running prowess, probably. If he adds in some of that running prowess, and because it's such a position that is injury prone and does allow for players to split time with other players, you know, it's harder to find out if you have a gem at left tackle, because you're not going to take Andrew Whitworth out of the first team snaps. And you're not going to take Andrew Whitworth out of a game. But it's easier to find out if you have something going on at running back. Not always, because you can throw him in at any time. And I think that'll be interesting to see with Jake Funk. And is that he was a good running back, a productive running back at Maryland. He was, you know, if he had stayed healthy, he probably would have put up some ridiculous numbers. But that never was the case. And he will probably get some chances there to see like what he can do with at least a second team offense. I ran a poll when Jake Funk was drafted of how confident are you that Jake Funk was the right choice for the Rams at 233. And that poll, out of 508 votes, 32% said it was the most confident. And then all the other three answers were basically tied, 22, 23, 22. So everybody was kind of split on Jake Funk, but there was a little bit more leaning towards, yeah, this is a good pick for the Rams here in the seventh round. And I would say, sure, why not? And next was Ben Skowronek, a wide receiver out of Notre Dame. This was the third receiver or tight end in the draft for Snead when he took Skowronek, because with Atwell and Harris, it was really saying, okay, let's keep going on the offensive side of the ball. But again, this is sort of going to be about his special teams ability and his special teams prowess and whether or not he can win a job here as a special teamer. Skowronek, according to the blog Raising Arizona, was called the draft gem no one is talking about. And what they said is Skowronek, 6'2", 220 pounds, 10-inch hands. He may not be ready for a wide receiver one role, but more of a wide receiver two, wide receiver three usage. There's also the fact that he could become a tight end, similar to how Dan Arnold evolved when he came into the league. Teams will most likely have to be patient because he suffered a Jones fracture in his foot during practice in the week of this year's Senior Bowl. Scouts have said that he's not the greatest on speed, which isn't an issue because he makes up for it with great ball skills, being able to make great cuts no matter which part of the route tree he is running. Skowronek had his first 4 years at Northwestern before transferring to Notre Dame, and he really did draw a lot of attention early on in Notre Dame, even getting way more targets than teammate Trey McKitty, a third round pick. So well ahead of Skowronek this year. And I had that same poll on Skowronek, which is, was he the right choice at 249? And much more convincingly, 37% said that he was the most right pick. There were almost 1,000 votes, 930 votes on this one. So Skowronek much more popular in the searches, and coming out there that he had a lot more people curious about where he went, I think, or Rams fans curious about who he was. 26% voted 3, 20% voted 2, and 17% voted 1, the least confident that he was the right choice. But a lot of Rams fans like this pick of Ben Skowronek in the seventh round. At wide receiver, there's no room. And at tight end, he's fighting off Tyler Egbe, Bryson Hopkins, Johnny Munt, and Jacob Harris. So just those four, it's going to be interesting to see where Skowronek fits on the roster, because at wide receiver, you would think Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, DeSean Jackson, Tutu Atwell would be four guys who are definitely going to make it. And then you've got Van Jefferson, who you think is probably going to make it. And then so it comes down to like a sixth or a seventh wide receiver. And if you're carrying four tight ends too. So the Rams are definitely trying to play the game of having a problem of too many options, so that they would have to make a difficult cut or trade later on in the year to get down to 53. But I would say that no matter what, if Skowronek goes out there and wins a job on special teams and is the most exciting and interesting player on special teams, then he will make the roster. There's just no question about it. Sean McVay will find a way to put him on the roster. I think that he has a long, long shot. You know, it's long odds because of the position, because of sort of where he's going to be able to fit into the roster. And because he was this seventh round pick, just like Jake Funk, you know, same thing. It'll be a fight to get in there, but also, as you've seen, fan favorite already. And I'm sure that everything we've heard about him since the draft and from the coaching and everybody would be positive. So we'll see where he sort of lands, but he was the second of these choices. And the third and final choice of the seventh round and the Rams' final pick of the 2021 draft, defensive end Chris Garrett. And Chris Garrett was the 252nd pick of the draft. He is 6'2", 230 pounds. Pulled his positives and his negatives from Pro Football Network, and it says explosive small school pass rusher who projects to outside linebacker in the NFL, plays with excellent pad level, gets leverage on opponents and fires off the snap, uses his hands well and displays a variety of moves, immediately alters his angle of attack and redirects to the action. Negatives, takes the majority of his snaps out of a three-point stance, used almost solely up the field, must get bigger, must get stronger, will struggle against the run at the next level. Garrett, and their analysis was that Garrett was a terrific pass rusher, and he is a relentless defender who consistently plays all out, but at the small school level, he's built more like a weak side linebacker than a pass rusher for the NFL, and he must complete his game and learn to make plays in reverse. Garrett had 16 and a half sacks in 2018. So very, very, very prolific as a pass rusher at the Division II level. And whether or not any of that translates to the NFL, you know, that's why he goes in the seventh round. And the Rams, having lost Morgan Fox, in addition to, you know, Samson Ebukam, and then Michael Brockers up there on the defensive line, I think that it makes a lot of sense to grab a linebacker like Chris Garrett, a player who could have some position versatility, a player who is a project. This is more of those, that thought maybe of less special teams, more does Chris Garrett have a future on defense, and whether or not the Rams can keep him around on the practice squad or at the end of the roster, if he can make the final 53-man roster, which I think is definitely possible for him to do, he might have more opportunity in that regard, positionality-wise, then Funk and Skowronek. You know, I think Funk and Skowronek could have more of an advantage on special teams, but there's fewer players who seemingly are holding a job desperately, you know, tightly away from Chris Garrett. Outside of Leonard Floyd, which, you know, linebackers on the Rams have really made it, have become undeniable, have made it undeniable that they're going to be on the roster, that they're part of the future. You know, this is not against any of them, and it doesn't say that any of them can't do that in the future or that they don't have the potential to. Like someone like Terrell Lewis, he hasn't proven anything yet in the NFL, and he has an injury history that continued up to last season. So I'm not going to say that Terrell Lewis has done anything to lock down a long-term spot on the Rams. I'm not going to say that Micah Kizer has, when he's had injury issues, when he's had consistency issues. There's nothing wrong with Micah Kizer being, you know, a part of the Rams right now and next season and thinking maybe he will develop into, you know, continue developing and that he already is a good player. But there's nothing so permanent, you know, if Corey Littleton wasn't permanent, there's nothing so permanent about Micah Kizer or Okoronkwo or Troy Reader or Kenny Young or Justin Hollins or Traven Howard, who missed all of last season. You know, this isn't against anything of them, but Chris Garrett, if he comes in and he plays way better than anyone is expecting, well, it's going to be so easy for him to slide past some of these guys who have been around for 1, 2, 3 years and not done anything yet to lock down a spot on the linebacking unit. So I think that Chris Garrett has that opportunity. And even if he was a more of a defensive line player, I think the same opportunities exist because Brockers and Fox are gone. In the poll for Chris Garrett, people loved it. 49% said four, the most confident that he was the right pick. 24% said 3, 16% said 2, and 11% voted the one, the least likely. So those are the three picks of the Rams in the seventh round. Which one do you think is most likely to make the final roster? I'll add a poll in the article for this on turfshowtimes.com. That's it for this episode of Pod TST. I'm Kenneth Arthur.